Amen. So we were, you know, we were talking about, you know, the benefits of speaking in tongues. And as Andrew, I don't know if everybody read the lesson, but one of the things he said was that he just began to speak in tongues and speak in tongues. And, you know, we know, right? And I believe all of us have experienced that when we begin to speak in tongues, you know, the enemy tries to bring confusion and chaos and kind of mock us. Are you really speaking in tongues? You're just talking gibberish, you know? And I think we've all gone through that, because especially in the beginning, when we start speaking in tongues, we're like, oh, what is this? You know, this is unknown to us. We've never experienced this before. So yeah, you're going to be, some of us can be easily influenced. I know I was. I was questioning, am I really speaking in tongues? Until I think I spoke a few syllables, because a friend of mine, actually, you speak in tongues, and I hesitated, right? And she said, start speaking in tongues. And I started speaking what I knew, and she said, you speak in tongues. Don't give me that. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. You speak in tongues. And she's a prophet, so she recognized the tongues, and she always goes to God for confirmation. That's what I like about her. Because, you know, we know all these scandals that are going on right now in the prophetic ministries, right? But like the word says, you need to test all every word that you receive from anyone, not just prophets, just from anyone, you know? So, you know, so again, you know, the enemy tries to deceive you and make you think that you're not really speaking in the Lord's language. But look at the benefits. When we begin to speak in tongues, look at what Andrew went through. He began to speak in tongues, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. He hadn't seen this guy in like 4 years. Well, hadn't even thought about him. And here, you know, this guy comes in, just walks right through the door, and he's crying, and he's, you know, he's starting to tell Andrew what his issue is, and Andrew actually gets revelation from the Holy Spirit and says, no, this is what's going on, and this is what you should be doing. And he would have never received that unless he had spoken in tongues before. But he was speaking in tongues. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. He knows who's going to knock at your door, you know, in the next minute or so. But what am I saying? The Holy Spirit prepared him for what's coming. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does. He brings warnings. He corrects with love, right? And he gives you illumination, revelation of the word. It is God himself speaking. And you can't get better than that than have the Lord speak into you and bring illumination and revelation of what's happening and what's to come. I mean, this is the best place to be. And we are all four of us are fully equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God himself. We speak in tongues. We can receive revelation. We can prophesy. We are fully equipped. All we need to do is exercise speaking in tongues. We got to speak in tongues more often, because when you do, you're going to bring forth prophecy. You're going to get revelation that someone else may not understand it, but you will, because God will give you the understanding. You're going to dream dreams, and God will give you the interpretation of those dreams, because we have the Holy Spirit. And like in this lesson says, ask. Just ask. Ask the Lord. Lord, I'm speaking in tongues. Can you give me the interpretation? What am I praying for? What am I saying? Bring illumination. And I'm telling you that I'm telling you, God will give you the interpretation. He will give you the understanding, because God does not withhold from us. He wants a relationship with us so bad. It is us that we keep away from God. Why? Because we're not reading. We're not tuning in. We're not speaking in tongues. We do it ourselves. But God really, really wants you to walk in the supernatural. And this is the only way to do it, is speaking in tongues. You got to speak in tongues. You got to know You got to get the revelation of God's language. And God is so quick to give it to you. You ask, there it is. He'll supply it. So, but anyway, this was really a pretty good lesson. You can see the benefits of speaking in tongues. And we just got to continue to do it. Just, you know, continue to speak in tongues. Because it's really powerful when you do. Did you want to go over any of these questions? And I really like the first scripture, Jude 20. Remember that? That is, I think that's one of the smallest books in the Bible, right? Jude 20 is like one chapter. And if you look at the questions, let me see. The scripture's right there. And it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That I think that is such a key verse for all of us. Because there you have it, you have great benefits. I mean, this is what we're talking about. There are benefits in you speaking in tongues. Speak in tongues whenever you can, whenever it's possible, speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm. It just
builds you up. It really does. And it prepares you for what's to come, for what's happening and for what's to come.
Yeah.
And we know Acts 2:4. I started reading the book of Acts yesterday. I started reading the book of Acts yesterday, and I was reading 2:4 yesterday, and we know scripture. We know what happened on the day of Pentecost. 120, the people that were present, the people that the Lord said, hey, wait for me there, don't leave, wait for me, wait for it, and all of a sudden it just happened. Holy Spirit filled the room. People began to speak in tongues, and 120 got saved. And then people came. They were surprised. What's going on? Are they drunk? Are these men drunk? What's going on? How can they be drunk? It's in the morning hours, you know? And then another 3,000 got saved, you know? They received. Peter started preaching, and they believed, and they received, you know? So that was in the book of Acts. And then 1 Corinthians 14, what part of you is praying? We went through this. This is why I said that this lesson is combined with the other lesson, because we've gone through this.
We learned last time, right? Because we were speaking of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke about the utterance and the one speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know who they're speaking to, 1 Corinthians 4:2.
Right.
They're speaking to God, not to man, right? 14:2, same thing. Yeah, 14:2 is at least three questions here. 14:4. You know, when you speak in tongues, again, you edify yourself. We went through this lesson, you know, we didn't go through this lesson, but we went through these verses. That's why I said, you know, why don't you just read it on your own? 1 Corinthians 14:16. When you are praying in tongues, you are doing what? All these things that the verse says. You know. Blessing the Spirit, right? You're agreeing with God. You're giving thanks to Him. I mean, it's just a blessing when you speak in tongues. And you're receiving the benefits. So, anybody has any questions on this lesson? The benefits of speaking in tongues. And it's so true. You know, when you speak in tongues, you really are edifying and building up yourself. You really, really are. That's why whenever there's an issue or problem or you're feeling down, begin to speak in the Holy Ghost because it builds you up. And the problem with us is, and I can speak for myself, that you forget. You know, like you're so consumed with what's happening and your thoughts and the anxiety and the stress and the problems and this and that, that you're losing focus. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on the Lord, we tend to focus on the problems, on the issue, on what's happening around us, on the symptoms, on the headache, whatever that may be, whatever that mountain is. Mm-hmm. We begin to focus on that. And when the Holy Spirit is just tugging on you, saying, hey, I'm right here. I can help you. Speak in tongues. I can help you. You know, and we just forget. I don't know what it is. We're so consumed by it that we just, shh. You don't hear them. Mm-hmm. It's happened to me many times. You know, and we have people, you know, we cover one another here, right? We have people to remind us, hey, God is here. Trust in him, you know. But anyway, I think this was a great three lessons on speaking in tongues, being filled with the Spirit of God. And now we're going to move on to level two. We're going to start level two. There's 16 lessons in level two. And
I don't have that.
I sent you the questions.
I got a question. Hold on a second. No, go ahead. So this is level two.
This is level two. There's three levels. There's 16 lessons in each level. We just finished level one.
Okay.
Yep. So this is level two. There are 48 lessons. In this discipleship program, this is level two, and this is the first lesson, and it's 16 lessons here, and there will be 16 lessons in the next level, which is level three.
Okay.
Okay, and this one is called self-centeredness, which is the source of all grief. Okay? The source of all grief. And this lesson will explain what this is talking about. And I'm going to get my Bible because I'm going to read from my Bible because these scriptures are in the New King James Version. And I prefer to read it from New King James. So, but self-centeredness is the source of all grief, and it's the source of much of what we ourselves, we experience, right? And there's a verse in Proverbs 13 that I would like to look up, and I believe it's in verse 10. I'm going to see if I go there. It is part of the questions, but this, I'm just going by the lesson. So it is in the questions already. So it's not something we're going to read again. We're just going to touch on it. But Proverbs 13:10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well advised is wisdom. So here in the New King James, right? In King James, it says, only by pride cometh contention, which is another word for strife, right? But with the well advised, there is wisdom. So many people at first would take issue with this and say, well, wait a minute. Pride can't be the only thing that causes contention or strife. But when we go to Proverbs 17:4, let's go there. 17:4, it says, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. So Proverbs 17:14 says that contention is the beginning of strife. So strife has to be caused by more than just pride. It's what so-and-so has done to me, right? Others will say, you don't understand. This is just the type of person I am. No, the scripture says that only by pride comes contention. And it's not one of the leading causes. It's the only cause, okay? Some people, again, would take issue and say, I've got all kinds of problems, but pride isn't one of them. If anything, I've got such a low self-esteem, there's no way anybody can accuse me of pride, which I find that a little bit twisted, kind of, because I've had, in the past, I had such low self-esteem, I never looked at it as being prideful. Like, is this really pride? Me having such a low self-esteem? I don't know. I find that a little bit, this lesson a little bit, I don't know if I agree totally with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, like.
Yeah, I don't see how that could be pride.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I don't know about that. But I'm going to continue the lesson. Huh? No, and I was reading, I'm like, yeah, but that's not me. Like, I had low self-esteem, not because of pride, it was because of other issues, you know? So anyway, so I'm just reading from the lesson, and the lesson goes on, and it says that we have to redefine what pride is, and it is not just thinking you're better than anybody else, right? I mean, but in the simplest terms, it is seeing yourself as the center of everything. Yes, self-centeredness, you're being selfish. Yeah, that's being prideful, right? So self-centeredness is really the root of all pride, because it's you're only thinking about yourself, just self. So I don't think we need to go there, but in the book of Numbers 12:2, right? Remember Miriam and Aaron, which is Moses' sister and brother, came against him, criticizing him because of an interracial marriage, saying, has the Lord indeed spoken to you? Has he really spoken to you and only to Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? So the scripture is saying in verse 3, maybe we should go there because it's pointing to that now.
Sure, he didn't tell you that.
Yeah, let's go to Numbers 12:2-3. Let's see. I need to clarify this, because Numbers 12:2-3. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? You know what? Let's go to 1. Right? Let's begin the story. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. In parentheses, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. That's an interesting verse right there. So it is in parentheses, and it's saying that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. So instead of taking offense of what they said, he began to pray and intercede for them instead, right? So when it says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, right? We got to stop and think about that, right? Because we don't know how many people there were alive on earth at that point, but they must have been quite a few, maybe millions, right, of people already. And Moses was the meekest man, that's what the verse says, of all these people. And what makes this really, really... some statement here, right, is that he was the one who wrote it. He wrote this. So most people think if you're truly humble or meek, you won't even know it. And that's a false impression of what arrogance really is. Pride isn't just thinking you're better than everybody else. It's self-centeredness. Again, being selfish, self-righteous, self-centeredness. It's like having a stick with arrogance on one side, right? And low self-esteem, like this is what the lesson is saying, low self-esteem on the other side. Those are opposite expressions of the same thing, but they're both on the same stick. Weird, but this is what it, you know, it's trying to illustrate to you really what self-centeredness is. So it doesn't matter if you think you're better than everyone else or worse than everyone else, you're absolutely self-centered. If you're prideful, you're self-centered. If you're self-righteous, you're being self-centered, you know? So everything gets filtered through that. And I don't know about this either. It says here that a timid, shy person is very proud, which I never saw myself as such, and self-centered, thinking only about self. Man, I was timid for years, and I was very shy. I can't see this being self-centered. God is going to have to...
I can see that as being self-centered. Because I work with a lot of people, and you know some people are quiet.
Yes.
But they have this condescendingness about them. Mm. They're quiet and sitting back and like, yeah, people are acting all crazy. Notice me. I'm like cool. Yes, I can see that as being self-centered.
You know what? You're right, because you don't know what they're thinking.
Exactly.
We don't know what they're thinking, but God does.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a true statement right there. Would I put all timid people in there? Probably not. But I think for the most part, yeah, you're right. And if I think about it even further, right? Let's say me being shy for so many years, in a way I was being self-centered because I wasn't stepping out in faith. I wasn't trusting God to do what he's called me to do, you know? So I kind of held back and became even more shy because I was being self-centered.
So you were looking at yourself.
Exactly. I wasn't trusting. So you can see it.
How am I going to feel doing this? You know what I mean? You would think about yourself. Like, I don't want to do this. You know what I mean? I'm going to sit back and let everybody else.
Myself doing things like that because I want to sometimes just stay in the back and not really say much or anything. So my thing is, oh, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. I can't talk the way she does. Or I don't know all the scriptures the way they do. So, right, you're looking at yourself. That's being self. Yeah, I can understand that part. Absolutely. And it's amazing how you can learn these things.
Right. Yeah. So really, when Vinny, you started talking, yeah, it opened up other areas. And I said, oh, yeah, God is taking me back here. I remember when you and then Rosie spoke it out. Right. So, you know, so, yeah, when you're shy, when you're timid. Yeah. That you're being prideful because now you're thinking only about yourself.
Yeah. That's so true.
When I look back, I said, how many times did the Lord tell me, you know, you need to pray for this person? And I said, I am praying for them. Peter's praying for them. You know, I did that so many times. I can't even tell you so many times. So I can definitely see this as being self-centered. Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
because
you're looking at yourself and saying, well, I can't pray the way he prays.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Yeah. Comparison was the worst for me. And my God, every so often, it comes in and I had to, like, nip it. Because I know the danger that it's dangerous for me to compare myself with other people, other ministers. Anybody. It doesn't matter whether they're in ministry or not. Do not compare yourself. And it took me a long time. It took me a long time.
Is this that everybody prays differently. And I've had to learn that no matter what, I could say two or three words and that's enough for that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, again,
like we said before, you know, that self-centeredness. Like, I before I wouldn't pray. I would, no, you know, I would shy away from it. And even still then, still, I still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Bernice knows it. I still do it. Thinking, okay, you know, how am I going to pray? When they're going to, you know, when they hear me praying. See? When they hear me praying. When they hear me praying.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, look at the way she's praying. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, I've said that to myself many times. And slowly God had to really process me and to the point that my prayer began to change and, you know, I've gotten better at it because I used to allow other people to pray and when God wanted me to pray, I would hide behind Peter. That's the reality. I really did for many years. I hid behind him and I said, no, I'm not praying. God, he is.
But listen, you're listening to this, right? I'm praying, like, what did I say to you? Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, this brings a lot of things up. Oof. Oh, my goodness. Lord forgive us.
You wouldn't think you would have this coming out of this lesson.
No, it's bringing me back to the past. Yeah, we lost Finite, right?
There Finite, she is. Where are you?
Yeah, there she is. So here the point that Andrew, which is the person that wrote this lesson, the point he's trying to make here is that self-centeredness is really the root of all pride. And if you plug that back into Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention. What this says is that it's our own self-centeredness that makes us angry. Not what people do to us, it's our self-centeredness that causes us to react to what people do. You know, you will never be able to stop people from rubbing you the wrong way because it can happen. We've been witness of that. We've even rub people the wrong way, you know?
Yeah.
And it says here, faith is not to control other people, but to help you deal with yourself and deal with the things that are inside of you. So it doesn't matter what people do to you, right? We have to, we cannot allow us to fall into that pride of self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. People don't matter. What matters is what is God saying? What is he asking you to do? We just need to obey. We need to obey and follow the Lord. You know, when you humble yourself, what does the scripture say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, right? And then when we submit to the Lord and we resist the enemy, he has to flee. But we need to humble ourselves. We need to walk in meekness, just like the Lord did. If we don't humble, if you're not humble, what's the opposite of being humble? It's probably self-centeredness. You're gonna be prideful. You know, we have to walk in humility at all times. You know, recall that as the Lord was crucified at the cross, he was able to turn to the very people who were crucifying him and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, right? He didn't control the people. He couldn't control them. I mean, he's God, right? But scripture had to be fulfilled, right? So he didn't control those people, but instead, he couldn't control them, but instead, actually, they were controlling the whole scene to the point that they actually convinced, Pontius Pilate to really release one of the criminals. The people took over, took the control, because even the leader went with what the people were saying. I think back is crazy, right? But scripture had to be fulfilled. It's self-centeredness that makes us angry when you really think about it. Like, really think about being selfish. You know, why are we being, why do we become selfish sometimes? Is it due to anger? Well, the lesson is saying it is caused by anger. You know, the Lord didn't come here for himself, but he so loved the world that he came here for us. He thought of his mother as he hung on the cross and spoke to one of his disciples, which we know was John, about taking care of her while he was on the cross. Imagine, and you know, you think about that. The Lord's body was all mutilated. He was like, you know, the bones were sticking out. I still can't believe. And he literally spoke to John, "Behold your mother, mother, behold your son." Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even at that point, he was not being self-centered at all. He was the Lord. He wanted to make sure his mother was being taken care of. And the reason that the Lord Jesus was able to forgive was because he was operating in love. In the midst of his intense agony, in the midst of injustice, everything that came his way was because he was not self-centered. He knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. He was fulfilling scripture. But the Lord Jesus was sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice that God chose to make atonement for us. And one of the greatest keys for applying all of these things God has done in your life is to realize that he didn't give you the kingdom for selfish purposes or for selfish reasons. He didn't do these things, right, so that you and I could have every need supplied. No, we need to learn that it is in denying ourselves and losing our lives that you really begin to find out what life is all about. Remember, when the Lord was crucified, we were crucified with him. It's no longer I that lives, but the Lord Christ lives in us now. So now we have to follow the Lord. We have to obey the Lord. We have to walk in obedience. And it's in loving other people and God more than yourself that you'll begin to diffuse, right, your anger and your hurt, all those things that are inside of you, right? I mean, a lot of us are still holding on to some bitterness, and we need to let that go. Some of us are still holding on to anger and unforgiveness. We need to let that go and just walk in love. Walk in love. Let it go. Let it go. I said it this year. You know, there was a minister that said that the Lord told him, you know, this year you're going to walk in. You're not going to be offended. So it's a year of being unoffendable, you know, and that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's not impossible. So when I said I choose not to be offended, walk in it. You don't need to be offended. You can say no. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the power. You know, you got the love of God. That's all we need. We just need the love of God, and we have it already. You know, so throughout this lesson, you know, I hope that you can open your hearts to realize that it's your own self-centeredness, or you can call it comparison, maybe even pride, contention, that causes you grief. Can you believe that we cause ourselves our own grief?
Oh yeah.
Right? Like really think about that statement. We cause ourselves grief when we're walking in selfishness, when we're walking in self-centeredness, when we're walking in self-righteousness, right? So instead of placing the blame somewhere else, we need to accept the responsibility, face it, humble ourselves before God, and ask the Lord to come in and make himself big in our life. And that's the way for us to walk in total victory. Just ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me not to be self-centered. Help me not to lean on my own understanding. Help me, Lord God, to to begin to walk in meekness. Help me, Lord God, because he's there to help us. And all we got to do is ask him. Okay, the one thing you don't want to do is walk in pride, because pride comes before the fall. That's what the word says. We want to stay away from that. We want to stay away from self-centeredness, self-righteousness. You know, we just need to stay away from it. Stay away from it. Because it does us no good. And if you want to walk in total victory, we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he is right there to see us through, because he is always for us, never against us. And he is our biggest cheerleader. He really is.
Uh-huh.
He really is. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go through the questions. There's a lot of verses we didn't get to read. So we should read these. Let's go to Mark 9:33-34, the Gospel of Mark. Learn a few things today, that's for sure. Things to be aware of. 9:33-34 says, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And I'm going to read 35, because there's a question with 35. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Okay? So let's go to question 1, 2, and 3 here. What were the disciples arguing about on the road going to Capernaum?
I'm going to be sitting. Who would be the greatest?
Yeah, exactly. Is it really in verse 35? Really, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, verse 34 says it too. So yeah, you know, they argue about who was the greatest. Jeez. What an argument to have.
Did they forget who was the greatest?
Exactly. So question number 2, does this reflect the selfishness in all of us?
Yes.
Because we all want to be great. Right? Mm-hmm. We all want to have first place. We all want to be the favorites. Right? Okay. So according to Mark, what was that?
I go, oh no, I don't want to be the one. No. Going back to the lesson.
Exactly.
Yeah.
According to Mark 9:35, if someone wants to be first, they must become what?
A servant to all. Last. They need to be a servant to all.
I, you know, and that scripture is saying they need to humble themselves in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, let's read Luke 22:24-27. And it says, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Wow. Okay, so question number four. Explain in detail the Lord's teaching.
So what I get from that is this. So the Lord Jesus Christ was among them every day, and he was the greatest. But he sat at the table with them, and he was there to serve them and coming into the kingdom as he's going into the kingdom with his Father. So that's what I get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
He was humble.
Yes.
Even though he have to be, because he's God. Or, you know.
Yeah.
And flesh. There's no reason that he had to be humble.
Yeah.
And, walking among them, eating with them, sleeping with them, suffering with them, praying with them, everything with them.
Yeah.
He didn't act like he was the Lord of the house and you got to serve me. He was like, I'm sitting at the same table you're sitting at, and I'm doing the same thing you're doing. So
that's right. The Lord is the greatest servant of all, right?
Of all.
He's like us.
Yeah.
And God is greater than that.
Exactly. And we're called to serve, right? We're all called to serve. And titles mean nothing. Titles mean nothing. I can't stand when I've witnessed this too, that because I go to a lot of con, I cannot stand when people are carrying a minister's Bible and their suitcase and stuff. I am like, dude, like, you are not the greatest one of all. You are called to serve, just like we're serving. Okay, come on. Absolutely. Now.
Absolutely.
It's
like what I have here also, that it says that in God's kingdom, no one is above the other, because we're all the same. We're all in the same level.
We're on the same category.
Carrying a minister's bag or whatever, you know, I could see if he's got a lot of stuff that he's carrying and you want to help him carry.
Right.
But when the minister just walking with nothing in his hand and you're carrying everything for, no. When Jesus said himself, he's there to serve. And he was the greatest of all of them.
That's right. This is
It's like, we're not here to be served. We're here to serve.
Exactly. We got to model the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord washed the disciples' feet. You know? Mm-hmm. He was a servant.
Yes, he was.
This was good. Proverbs 13:10, which is one of the first scriptures we read. What is the only thing that causes contention? Absolutely. Pride comes before fall. I always remember that scripture. Pride comes before the fall.
Before the fall, before destruction. Absolutely.
Hey, I mentioned this scripture before. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So how should we live our lives?
By faith in the Son of God.
Absolutely. It's the only way to live. It cannot be centered around our own strengths or weaknesses. We gotta lean on God. We gotta follow his way, his thoughts, his ways, his strength, right? When we are weak, that's when God makes himself strong in us, right? And the word also says we need to decrease so that Christ can increase in us.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Matthew 7:12. I am going to my Bible for this. Matthew 7:12, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Right.
What is the antidote for self-centeredness?
I would say it's the same answer to number four, that we're not here to be served, but to serve.
Yep.
To be humble.
Yep, we gotta treat others the way you want them to treat you, right?
Uh-huh.
And the other antidote is we need to be God-centered. Right? Christ has to be number one in our lives. We have to be centered in Him. He has to be the center of our lives. And another, I believe, also another antidote for self-centeredness is putting others ahead of you. I think that, right, that shows humility. You know, when you do stuff for other people, let's say, you know, the Word of God says, you know, mm-hmm, you're blessed to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know, when you're blessed, bless other people, pay it forward.
Yeah.
Consider others above yourself. Isn't that what the word says? To consider others above yourself. To other put, always put others first, just like God did. For God so loved the world, He thought of us. He thought of us. That's why He disrobed Himself and incarnated into Christ, who was 100% man, 100% God, deity. Right? Had a divine and a natural nature, right? Because Jesus was a man. He felt everything that we feel today, right? And He was also God. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, He humbled Himself in the sight of His Father, did His perfect will. Even though He asked the Lord, Lord, this cup seems to be really heavy. Can you take it away from me? And if not, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine, but your will. That shows meekness. That shows humility. You know? So, again, the antidote for self-centeredness is to be Christ-centered. Always, always have Christ in the forefront of everything. Always go to Christ for everything. Before you even pick up the phone to call a friend, before you even talk to your spouse, go to God. Be Christ-centered, you know, because, you know, we got to stay away from self-centeredness. It is a synonym for being prideful. And we need to antidote that with humility.
Humility.
We got to continue to serve. Amen. Serve one another. Serve others. You know, that's our number one goal, to be servants of the Lord. What you do unto others, you do unto the Lord. And God is well pleased with that. Amen. So here He's teaching us to just continue to humble ourselves in His sight. And we can definitely walk in victory, in total victory when we do that.
Amen.
You know, amen. Jesus was victorious at the cross and He humbled Himself in the sight of His Father. So we can also walk in victory. It's ours. Claim it. It's ours. It's yours. Proclaim it. Decree it. Declare it over your life. It's yours. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any comments, any questions before I close the recording?
Nope. This was a good lesson. Absolutely. Be humble.